Take your Bibles now and turn to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 down through the entire chapter. Listen to God's Word and follow along if you will. Our subject this morning, the two pathways. Which pathway are you traveling? I hope you're traveling the right one. Genesis chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and my herdmen. For we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, if thou wilt take the left hand, and I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father, this morning, thou dost know the seriousness of this hour, the inability and the frailty of the human vessel, and thou dost know the opposition of the evil one, as well, Lord, as the depravity of the human heart. So as we've asked before, we ask thee again, meet with us in a special way this morning, give listening ears and attentive minds and open hearts, and then, our God, we pray, send forth thy word in might and power, unlock these hearts that need to know thee, strengthen thy children as only thou art able, and for those who may be vacillating and beginning to become like Lot, we pray, call each one back as only thou art able, and help us individually and collectively to be better servants of thine. Forgive us now where we have failed thee even today, and work out thy purpose here for thy glory after the counsel of thy will, and Lord, bring honor and glory unto thyself. We ask it now for thy sake. Amen. Our subject this morning, two pathways. Our lesson today will have to do with the characteristics of both Abraham and Lot. Now, many people today believe that a believer has no choice in the way he chooses to walk. We sang this song this morning, We are saved to the uttermost, and if you're saved, you're saved to the uttermost. It means you cannot ever be lost. But at the same time, we have to look very clearly and very carefully and see that how we walk after we're converted determines a great deal as to our prosperity, our peace of mind, and then also our future reward. Our lesson today will fall into these categories. First, the characteristics of Abraham and Lot. Then secondly, the two natures in every believer. And then third, the actions of Abraham, a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saved here this morning, we've got something for you. If you're unsaved here this morning, we have something for you. If you're in a backslidden condition, We hope the Lord will get a hold of your heart and straighten you out, because that needs to be done. And if there's a possibility that you begin to waver, we're hoping that the Lord will call you back and put you back where we ought to be. Now, as we look at the characteristics of Abraham and Lot this morning, we'll find, first of all, Abraham was the favored of God. Now, just remember very clearly, both Abraham and Lot were believers. Both of them were. And we need to understand that. We're not speaking of Lot as an unsaved man. He wasn't. He was a saved man. But at the same time, we see Lot to be the kind of a man that we should not be. And we'll look into that in just a few moments. Abraham was favored of God. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we've covered that. We find that he was called by God in grace. Now let's stop right here. If you're a believer this morning, God called you in grace. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then put it down. You're not a believer. Every individual that ever gets saved is called by the Lord God of heaven. In the call of God, God speaks to that individual personally and indelibly and sovereignly and absolutely and positively. The individual knows that God is speaking to that person. When that call comes, the individual responds. Now, some people, they call it by the term the effectual call. Well, it is effectual. When God called Abraham, God said to Abraham, when he was 75 years of age, he said to him very clearly these words: "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." And Abraham left at the age of 75. Now, God called him. He was called by grace. And if you're saved here today, God's called you by grace, because you can't be saved any other way. You're not saved by you doing anything. You're saved by the absolute, positive, free, sovereign, personal grace of the Lord God of heaven, because it's by grace we are saved, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, have you been called of God? All right, the second thing is this. If you've been called of God, you've been called also to be a pilgrim and a stranger. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles now and go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and I want you to notice, particularly, if you will, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. We find Abraham obeyed. Notice, we find in verse 10, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Now, what in the world are you talking about? Abraham looked for the New Jerusalem. He was no different than you and me at this hour. We are looking, if you're a pilgrim here and a stranger, you're looking for the New Jerusalem. Now, what's that mean? It means that our hearts, our lives, our affections, our aspirations, our goals and our ambitions are to do what? Reach that city. Now, as we strive to reach that city, we become a stranger on this earth. Now, what are you talking about? Well, when you're a stranger on this earth, I'll tell you right now, you'd much rather be in the house with the people of God than you would be anyplace else. Now, you would. The people of God are met here today. And if you're a pilgrim, you're like stranger with the rest of them. We find a fellowship here that the world doesn't understand. It can't compete with. And I'll tell you something else. It becomes jealous of it. And we see when it does, they begin to disparage it every way they can. But there's a fellowship amongst the people of God that nobody can explain, and yet we know it's there. Now, the reason is this. We're pilgrims. What are you talking about? Well, whether you're saved or unsaved here today, you're still a pilgrim on this earth. The Scripture says that 70 are usually the age of a man that God allows him to have. And if by 80, by reason of strength, we find that they're days of shortness and problem. Now, we're all strangers on this earth. We're pilgrims also. We're not going to be here very long. And those of us that are believers are finding out that our time is becoming shorter and shorter and shorter. And as I told my Sunday school class this morning, I'll tell you, I picked up a book this week written by a great scientist who is a graduate of MTI and so on, and he's made a study, and he's entitled his book, In the Beginning, and in his study of astronomy, he is finding out that the planets are slowly but surely receding away from this Earth. The moon is beginning to pull away from this Earth, and this Earth is beginning to slow down in its movement around the sun, proving one thing, beloved, God's going to bring this planet into judgment with him in the very near future. Now let us soak in. If you're here today without Christ, you're going to meet God. You can't get away from him. You're going to meet him face to face. You're going to stand before him alone. And when you stand before him alone, you'll stand before him as your judge. He'll not be your Savior. And if you don't know the Lord God of heaven, and you stand before him in judgment, rest assured of one thing, it's absolutely going to come to pass. You're going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Now, it doesn't make any difference who you are, young, old, middle-aged, or elderly. You have to have a knowledge and a personal acquaintanceship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that comes as God calls us in grace. I'm glad he's still calling people in grace, aren't you? I'm glad he is. The door of salvation is still open. Then as we are called to be strangers and pilgrims, we are also constantly faced with problems and testing. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Philippians for just a moment. The book of Philippians, chapter 1. And I'm going to give you a verse of Scripture, and then we're going to go back and look at Abram for just a few moments. In Philippians, chapter 1, look with me at verse 29. Listen to what it says. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, people today are not taught that. The life of a stranger and a pilgrim is one that is constantly filled with problems and testing. Now, let's go back to the book of Genesis for just a moment, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. In Genesis chapter 12, no sooner, in verse 10, we find these words. No sooner did Abram leave the land of Chaldea, because that's where he was, Ur of the Chaldees. No sooner did he get into the land of Canaan, and we find in verse 10, this is what happened. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. All right, now what do you have here? Suffering. Abraham faced a time when the larder in his house was almost empty. He faced a time when he didn't know if he could provide for his family or not. Now, what's that tell us? It tells us very clearly that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to be unemployed. Just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that there isn't going to be a time when your larder will be empty, so to speak, and you'll either have to look to the Lord God of heaven or you'll have to go down to Egypt for help. You see, as pilgrims and strangers, we're going to face this. Our Lord's been awfully good to us as a church in the last 30 years, and he has. And I dare say I could go out, and even now probably I could ask right there, I wonder how many of you out right now are facing eviction from your landlord. Probably nobody. I wonder how many of you right now are going to go home and you find out there's nothing to eat in your home. Probably nobody. You see, God's been awful good to us. And God has blessed us over and above that which we can positively ask or think if we'll just realize it for a moment or two. But as a believer, Abraham faced these problems, and we are the same way. We are called to be a pilgrim and a stranger on this earth. And then we are constantly faced with problems and testing. Now, in our text today, we find in verse 5 of chapter 13, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Now let's stop right here. Here's an objection. What in the world are you talking about? Well, you're going to have a problem with your relative. Now you might as well understand this. If you're going to be a pilgrim and a stranger for the Lord God of heaven, and you are if you've been called by grace, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have a problem with your relatives. Now why? Because your relatives are not going to understand your goal and your aspiration and your desire unless they also are pilgrims and strangers. And even if they are, they may not understand it in as great a detail as you do. And we better recognize this. While we are here on this earth, we're pilgrims. We're strangers, but we're also going to have problems such as famine or unemployment or things like that. Then we are also going to have problems with our relatives. Now turn back to Matthew chapter 10 for just a moment or two and let me show you. In Matthew chapter 10, look at what it says. The book of Matthew chapter 10, the scripture brings it out very clearly. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 34, here's the Lord Jesus speaking. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now what do you have here? Problem. Now what are you talking about? Well, you believers here today, I know that many of you have smaller children, and your children are coming to the place right now where they want to do everything else that their friends and neighbors and relatives and loved ones and so on, and even some of the fellow church members are allowed to do, and you say, no, I don't believe it's right for them. Well, why not? They do it. But you're not they. And as believers, we have to take our stand and stand. And you better keep it in mind. And when you do, you're going to have problems. Abraham had a problem with Lot. Both of them had herdsmen. Both of them had cattle and sheep and so on. And the land was not able to bear them. And so what do you have? You had a bickering amongst the two. And put it down. You're not going to be able to get along with everybody you can on this earth either, even though you are Christian. Well, why not? I'll show you that in a few moments. But our Lord tells us very clearly, Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth, but a sword. And there will be real problems. And we need to understand that. And as believers, you and I are going to have to be like Abraham. We better recognize this. We're going to face it. Abraham faced a famine, and then he faced a possible fight with his relatives. But then he faced the third thing. Go back again to Genesis chapter 13. And I'll show you the third thing. Now notice. In verse 9, Abram said to Lot these words. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. Now here's another problem. We're either going to be first or second. Now, in the heart of every one of us, and you might as well understand it, believer or unbeliever, the only difference is this, the believer is able to control it, the unbeliever isn't. In the heart of every one of us, there's conceit. In other words, we really think we're better than what we really are. And we better understand that. Well, I'm just as good as that person. Why should I take second place? Now, that's the problem we face. And we better understand it. And if you try to deny it, you might as well recognize one thing, you're denying your own self. Now, what did Abram do? He faced this problem. Famine, a fight with a relative, or first or second. And you and I are no different. If somebody passes over us, perhaps in a promotion or something like that, what do? We gripe and grumble and say, I should have had that. Well, maybe you should have. But now listen. Abraham should have had first choice. He had the right to have first choice. But what did he do? He took second place. And we don't hear him griping about it. And when you and I gripe about it, we better understand very clearly, we still got a lot of carnality in us, don't we? And we've got to ask the Lord for strength, though. You see, these are problems that a believer faces. And I'm telling you again, we're not going to get away from them. We have to overcome them. And the only way you're ever going to overcome a problem is to hit it head on. Don't run away from it. A number of years ago, you remember when I was in that bus accident. Well, the very next day, the superintendent came to me, the supervisor came to me, and three or four other people came to me and said, are you going to drive your bus today? Don't you want to take a few days off so you don't have to go by that place again? I said, no. The only way you're going to lick a problem is to hit it head on and overcome it. Always remember one thing. You are always greater than the problem. If you know God. Isn't that right? One plus God is always the majority, isn't it? And you and I have to lick these problems. And the only way we can is to hit them right head on and ask the Lord to give us the strength to do it. Now, these are the things that Abraham faced. But now notice, we find the fourth thing about Abraham was this. He constantly was faced with problems and testing. But then in Genesis chapter 13, look at what happened in verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. God never told him that before. But here God told him that. And this is what he said. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Now what do you have here? The fourth thing about Abraham was this. While he constantly faced these problems and testings, we find very clearly he was cared for and protected by God. The Canaanite and the Perizzite were then in the land. They were more powerful. And if Abraham and Lot would have got into a scrap between each other, those two fierce tribes would have come in and taken over both of them. And you and I are faced with problems, and we better understand very clearly, this is not our home. The Canaanite and the Perizzite are the unsaved round about us. And there's nothing they like better than to be able to chew on the faults and the shortcomings and the testings of a believer, if they possibly can. Oh, they love to see about, they love to chew on churches being in a split, you know. And some even go so far as to say, well, that church has no testimony. How do you know they don't? You're not there. Does this church have a testimony? I believe it does. How many people travel many miles to come here? When I tell other preachers of the fact that I have people coming 50 and 60 and even 80 miles to come to this church, they look at me askance as if to say, how come? I said, there's something here they don't find any place at. And that's a good testimony. And you and I will either enhance it or we will hinder it depending on how we behave as we seek to serve the Lord. Now let's look at Abram again. He was called of God. He was called to be a pilgrim. He constantly faced problems and testing, and yet he was cared for and protected by the Lord God of heaven. Now that's Abram. Now let's look at Lot for a moment or two. Look with me, if you will. We find in verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. Now skip down to verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now let's stop right here for a few moments. We find also five things about Lot. Or I should say four things. Number one, Lot also was a righteous man. Now how do you know? Turn to Genesis 18, and we'll show you. In Genesis chapter 18, we find verse 23. Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Genesis 18, 23. And then he went on, and what did he do? He begged for Sodom and Gomorrah and brought the Lord from 50 down to 10. And are you listening? There weren't even 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah before God destroyed it. But Lot was there. And Abraham called Lot righteous. Then in 2 Peter chapter 2, we find the Lord God of heaven also called Lot righteous. He said, that righteous man dwelling in Sodom vexed his righteous soul. So we see Lot was a believer. Now keep that in mind. But I want you to notice, if you will, that while we have Abraham in favor of God, we have Lot, the waster of his privileges. As a believer, you and I can waste our privileges, or we can enhance them. And Lot was a waster of his privileges. Now, as I've said before, I'm going to say again, he was a righteous man, so he had been called of God. The Scripture doesn't tell us much about Lot's salvation. It just tells us that he was a righteous man. And God never calls an individual a righteous man unless they are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to understand that. But Lot, while he was called of God, we find he was called of God a righteous man. Then his privilege was this. He was a companion for a while with the choices of people. Now, preacher, what nor are you talking about? Well, Genesis chapter 10, look at verse 5. Again, we read these words. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. I don't know about you, but I would have liked to have been able to travel with Abram. I really would. Abraham was a righteous man, and Lot also, he companioned for a while with the choices of people. Now, we've had people that did the same thing, and I'll make no bones about it. I believe that the believers in this church are the choices of people. I believe that. Nobody's going to change me from that idea. If you're a believer here today, you're the choices of people. And it's a privilege for you and I to companion together. And we ought to make the most of it. And as we companion together around the things of the Lord. And that's why, as I've said before, I'm glad to see the young adults having get-together. I'm glad of it. I think we ought to have some more of them. I'm hoping that possibly in the near future, maybe the men could get together and we could have a men's fellowship. And we could get together and do what? Sing and praise the Lord. And rejoice together in the things of the Lord. And I'll tell you right now, it's a privilege to be able to do so. Now, Abraham was a choice person in the eyes of God. And Lot was his companion. And so Lot's companion for a while with the choices of people. But he wasted his privilege. Don't you waste it. You're here with the choices of people. And I'm going to say again, I'm going to tell you again, as I've told you before, you miss out on a blessing when you stay away from the house of God. You ought to be here every possible service you can be because you're with the choices of people on the face of the earth. And if you don't think so, then I'm going to tell you right now, you're wrong. And there's something wrong with you, and you've got a rotten spot in your life that's got to get out. Am I stepping on your toes? I hope I am. It needs to be done. This is a choice group of individuals. And Abram was a choice man. And Lot companioned for a while with the choices of people. But he separated. Now why did he separate? Because Lot chose to walk by sight and by sense. Now, preacher, what more are you talking about? Genesis chapter 13, look at verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. In verse 12, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now what do you have here? You have here a believer who chose to walk by sight and by sense. Now, what are you talking about? Well, Lot and Abraham were required to separate because they couldn't live together. Their substance was too great. Abram said to Lot, he said, I'll give you first choice. Lot should have done this. He should have turned right around and said to Abram, no, sir. You have the first choice. God gave you the land, not me. I'm only here by special privilege. And that was so. But he didn't do so. What did he do? Look what he did in verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. Now you ought to underline these words, like the land of Egypt. You remember a week or two ago when I brought you Abraham's sin? He went down into Egypt, and what Egypt stood for? It stands for what? Relying on the arm of the flesh and not trusting God. And it stands for the individual going to the world for his substance and his sustenance and seeking the world's help instead of seeking God's help. And Lot was that kind of a man. Now look what he did. He companioned with the choices of people, but he chose to walk by sight and by sense. Now, how did it affect him? Take your Bibles now and turn back to 2 Peter chapter 2 and look with me. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we find again the Lord God of heaven is telling us about Lot. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now what do you have here? Notice, he dwelt among them. We see him first on the city of the plain. Secondly, we see him pitching his tent toward Sodom. Thirdly, we see him sitting in the gate of Sodom as an alderman. Oh, Lot was prosperous for a while. He chose to walk by sense and by sight. And I'm going to show you something. It cost him everything he had but his redemption. Take your Bibles again. Turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 19. And look at it. In Genesis chapter 19 And look at verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. What happened to his substance? It was gone. What happened to his wealth? It was gone. What happened to his testimony? It was gone. And here you have a believer who did what? He sinned away his privileges. He wasted his privilege. And I hope that nobody here will do that. Lot is an individual who saved Boaz by fire. Now these are believers. And as a believer, you can walk one of two ways. You can be like Abram, a stranger and a pilgrim, and dwell, as it were, in a tent, even though you may have a beautiful home. Your home will only be a tent to you. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I dwell in a beautiful home. I do. But it's not mine. I'm only there as long as I'm here. And I'll tell you something else. I don't want to be there if I'm not going to be here. And I hope you understand that. Every year in the springtime, or I mean in the fall, I should say, every year in the fall, my wife and I, we say, well, if we have a garden next year, let's do this. And we waited too many years ago. I should have planted some trees years ago, but I didn't expect to stay here this long. But I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. I dwell in a beautiful home. I have all the comforts they are. But are you listening? That's not my real home. My home's in glory. And I'm waiting for the mansion that the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for this old sinner, and I'm waiting for the time when I can walk in it. Now that's the pilgrim. You and I as believers are all that way. That's why, if I've told you before, I'm going to tell you again. If the Lord's given you a beautiful home, fine. But don't let it become your God. Don't walk by sense and sight. Walk by faith in the Lord God of heaven. Now, this is Abraham and Lot, and these are two pathways. But as we look at Abraham and Lot again, and we see my time's almost gone, we find also that in Abraham and Lot, you have the two natures of a believer. Now, if you're an unbeliever here today, you've only got one nature, and you know what that is? That's a sin nature. You can't do anything but sin. You sin because you're a sinner. The taproot of your entire being is sin. You're born that way. You live that way, and you'll die that way, unless the Lord God of heaven reaches down and cuts that taproot of sin and puts in his place eternal life. But as a believer, you still have the two natures. And Abraham and Lot can be pictured also as the two natures in a believer. Now look at Abram again. We find in verse 7 through 9 of Genesis chapter 13, what did he do? He walked by faith. And he walked by God's word. And he walked by God's ability. In verses 7 through 9, Abraham said to Lot, he said, is not the whole land before thee? He said, you choose to the right and I'll go to the left, or else if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. So on. Now, what are you talking about? Well, we find Abraham here. What was he doing? He was walking by faith. He was ready and willing and able to give Lot first choice because Abraham knew and he believed it. Or he might not have had the best down here, but we find Abraham knew as he walked by faith, he walked by God's word, and he was walking in God's ability. He knew God would take care of him. You see, this marks the believer. What do you have in the world today? Go to the business world, and I'll tell you right now, you have mass confusion deliberately set up. But in that mass confusion, what do you have? You have every individual wants to set up his little old kingdom, and he wants to be the number one. Isn't that right? All right, you go to the churches today. You have the same thing. Last February, when I went to Grand Rapids, I stood up and gave a little illustration of how precious it was and how what a privilege it was to work with the Civil Air Patrol. And I'll tell you right now, I said, we need chaplains. I've had boys and girls that are unsaved. I've had them beg me, and they said, "Chaplain, can't you find us one?" And so I threw it out to those preachers. And when I got through, they took it in this manner. I was recruited. You see, in the religious world, what do you have? The average preacher today wants to build his own little kingdom. And that's why you have these things today. Now, what are you talking about? They're not walking, as it were, by faith, by God's word, and by God's ability. And I hope you are. The second thing is this. We need to be willing to take second place if need be. Down through the years, I've learned very clearly, it doesn't make any difference what size church you have. I'll tell you right now, I'm glad I'm not pastor of some of these great big churches, because in the middle of them you have nothing but feuding and fighting. Do we have it amongst here? If we do, I need to know about it, don't I? But we don't have that here. Why not? We have one goal to go on. Now, if you don't want to go with us, you stand behind, but we're going to leave you behind. We're pressing onward to an upward goal. You going with us? I hope you are. Now, if you don't want to go, all right, you just stand behind. We'll leave you way behind. But don't you complain. It's your fault. Now, we're willing to take second choice if need be. Abram was that way. Now, this is the nature. This is the new nature we have. It is narrow. It isn't normal for us to want to take second place or be willing to take second place. It isn't normal for that. It isn't normal for us to walk by God's word and God's power and God's ability. No, sir. That comes because God put that nature in us. That's the new nature. And it's always having a struggle. All right, this is Abraham portraying the new nature. All right, now let's look at Lot. Lot portrays the carnal nature that's in every believer yet, even though we're saved. Now you might as well understand it. Your old flesh isn't going to get any better. It hasn't gotten, and it won't get any better, whatever. God didn't die for your old flesh. Now put it down. God died and God saved us to give us a new nature. And in the believer, there is an old nature and there is a new nature and there's a constant struggle. And that's why the book of Galatians says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And this is portrayed also here in the Old Testament. Lot sets forth the carnal nature. Now what was it? Number one, he was greedy. He lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Lot looked at it and he said, over here, here's the hills and mountains. They don't look so good. He said, I don't want that. But he said, look at that plain of Jordan. Ha, that's great. That's the old greedy nature. And believer, that greed is still there. It's got to be under control. We find also, he not only was greedy, he was grasping. Abraham said, I'll give you first choice. Lot didn't argue with him one bit. He didn't even respect Abraham's age. He probably thought in his heart, well, that old fool, good for you. I'll take first choice. I don't care what you think. And are you listening? That's part of the old nature. The old nature says, I'm going to have my way. The old nature says, nobody's going to tell me what to do. The old nature says, I don't care who I step on. This is for me. But I tell you this, that old nature is the devil. And it doesn't change. And so Lot is pictured. He's grasping, he's greedy, and gain was the uppermost in his life. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, the example of Lot is set forth in 1 John. Turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And listen to what it says. In 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 15 through verse 17, where we read, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Isn't that plain? Now here you have it. Lot was greedy, grasping and gain uppermost in his life. Then he became destitute, and shame was his result. You see, whichever nature the believer gives into is whichever one is going to control his life. And Lot is an example of how believers should not be, but how many times we are. And so Lot is that kind of a man. And we need to understand this. Well now, preacher, how am I going to argue with this? All right, you've got to ask yourself this question. Which nature are you feeding the best? Are you spiritually malnutritioned? The reason we have the Bible schedules out there on the table at the beginning of every year is that for every one of us, we want you to set a goal. If you haven't done it, I hope you will. You ought to set a goal in your own heart and life, and we put it out here as a church, and that is this: that every believer ought to read his Bible through at least once every year. Now, when you do that, you're feeding your new nature. Now, you ought to ask yourself this question. Do you spend as much time in the Word of God and in the house of God as you do before your television? Think on that. Our kids come home for the most part, and I hope you don't allow them to do it. They come home for the most part, and what do? They turn on television, and if Mom and Dad are working, there's absolutely no control over that television, and they can see all the filth and the lust and the junk and everything else that's in there. And I'm going to tell you right now, once it's imparted in the inner nature, it's very difficult to get rid of it. Let me illustrate. It's a lot easier for you to remember secular things than it is for you to memorize and keep the Word of God in your heart. Now, if you're honest, you'll say, that's right. But this is the way it goes, and this is the new nature that's portrayed by Abraham, and it's also the old nature portrayed by Lot. And the end thereof will be shame and result on the part of the believer. Because every believer is going to stand one day before the judgment bar of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is called the judgment seat of Christ. And every believer is going to give an account of himself or herself. You're not going to count for me. I'm not going to count for you. You're going to give an account of yourself, what you have done with the things of God since you've been converted. In other words, which pathway are you going? The pathway of resting on God's Word, God's ability, and relying on God's faith as He's given it to you? Or are you going to walk by sense and sight like Lot did and wind up as a believer saved by fire? Now, one more thing and I'm done. I'm really not done. Just have to quit. But Abraham also here in this 13th chapter of Genesis is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what in the world are you talking about? In Genesis chapter 13 again, verse 8, Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, and if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." All right, now Abraham, here's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In what way? Number one, he waived his right. What are you talking about? Abraham was promised all the land by God. Lot was not promised one iota. Abraham waived that right. He did not grasp after that portion. When the problem came between the two herdsmen, Abraham said, let there be no strife between me and thee. He said, you take first choice. Now, what are you talking about? Abraham did not grasp after that portion. He portrays the Lord Jesus Christ in this manner, that the Lord Jesus Christ, being in the image of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The second thing is this. Our Lord also, he did not grasp after his portion, but our Lord did this. He suffered himself to be led as a lamb to the slaughter. Think on it. On the way to Calvary, he could have summoned his angels. And he could have wiped everything off the face of the earth in a split second of time. But our Lord did not. Even as he carried his cross, he turned and he said, daughters of Jerusalem, he said, weep not for me, weep for thyself. He allowed himself to be led as a lamb to the slaughter. Why? For you and me, my friend. That you and I, through him, might have eternal life. The third thing he did was this. He refused to summon the angels to help him. And fourthly, he became sin for us, that we might become righteous through him. But now that's how the Lord Jesus did for us. That's what the Lord Jesus did for us. And that's how Abraham also pictured the Lord Jesus Christ. He waived his rights. The second thing Abram did was this. He forbore with Lot as God forbears with us. Aren't you glad God's the God of patience? Aren't you glad he doesn't deal with you and me like he did with the Israelites in the wilderness, where a man picked up sticks on the Sabbath day and they stoned him to death? And our Lord forbore with sinners. And he forbears with us, even as believers. Many's the time he ought to whip us, but he forbears with us. Abraham forbore with Lot, as God forbears with us. And that's why 2 Peter 3:9 is very clear, where it says very clearly these words, verses 8 and 9, if you turn to it for a moment, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, the Scripture brings it out where it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but notice, but is long-suffering to usward. That usward is us believers. That's also his elect. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should come to repentance, but that, or not any, that's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. Now, one more thing. Abram did this. In a like manner, he portrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll come into that next week, Lord willing. But Abraham had to rescue Lot by his sword and by his intercession. And are you listening? That's how God rescues sin, by the sword of God. Now, what is the sword of God? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder the what? The soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And only the word of God is that what he uses to save sinners. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you saved here this morning? If you're not, you're here by God's divine appointment. You're here to see what believers are to be like. You're here also to see that Abraham is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who became sin for us, for you and me, that we through him might be saved. And you see here also to know that as Abraham rescued Lot, he rescued him by his sword. So the Lord God of heaven has rescued us who are saved by the sword of the word, and he still does. And then he supplicates us on our behalf. Preacher, what are you talking about? In Genesis 18, Abraham stood before the Lord God of heaven, and God said to Abraham, he said, I'm going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham pled with the Lord. He said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? If there be 50, would you spare the city? If there be 40 or 30 or 20 or 10. And he pleaded with God. And are you listening? The Lord God of heaven still pleads with him, with himself, with God the Father on our behalf, because he's our intercessor, sitting in the heavens, ever now making intercession for us. He's our advocate that's never lost the case. And as I said before, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for you to know Christ. Now, do you know him? I hope you do. Believer, which way are you going? Which pathway? You're going to travel the pathway of Lot, or you're going to travel the pathway of Abraham? If you're on the pathway of Lot, I hope you'll turn around and come back. Because it'll be a waste of time. And you'll wind up shame. Shame before God. And then remember, believer, we have problems similar to Abraham. Our rights. Give us our rights. That sound familiar? Give us our rights. We want our rights. If we got our rights, we'd all be in hell. We don't need rights. We need mercy. And I heard a song this past week. I asked for mercy, and then I found grace. And I'll tell you, that's right. And I learned that Jesus took my place. And someday in glory I'll sing his praise. I asked for mercy, and I found grace. Are you a sinner here today? Ask God for mercy. You'll find grace. And when he saves you, you come and let me know. Last of all, find it now. The steps to an individual's downfall are always the same. Lifting up of the eyes and beholding, separation of the tents of Abraham and God, because there'll be a separation of the tents and altar of Abraham of God. There'll be a dwelling in the cities of the plain. There'll be a pitching of one's tent towards Sodom and winding up of the dwelling in the cities of Sodom. And finally, last of all, there'll be the shame that the person is left with. Oh, may God strengthen us. If you don't know the Lord, seek him. If you do, let's live for it. Shall we stand? Our Father, thank you for this day today. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts individually and collectively. Help us as we seek to serve thee. Now, let us know our needs, our shortcomings, and Lord, we cry again. Make us more like Abraham, dwelling in tents, a pilgrim and a stranger on the face of this earth. And Lord, increase our vision toward the city that thou hast built for us in glory. How thankful we are that we can walk in faith and we look for a city whose builder and maker is God. So, our Lord, as we learn from the examples of Abraham, teach us. And then for these in this room that need to know thee, we pray, our Lord, that thou will open their hearts. Speak to them individually. Call them, Lord, by name. And break them down at thy feet in repentance. Raise them up in faith and regeneration and restoration and salvation. And, O our God, do it. Even now, and for thy glory, we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. God.